Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us, we have Mike Andes of Anytime Fitness coming to you from Blaine, Washington. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday. I'm excited to dig into this because you probably have a little bit of a unique situation in your business ownership. The gym wasn't the first business, that's for sure. I want to pick your brain on the how we got here tale before we dive into strategy and tactics and all that you do from a business standpoint today. And so Anytime Fitness, how did you come to be involved in this and how did we get to where we are now?
Yeah, so I actually started college when I was really young. I thought I was going to become a doctor. So I actually started college when I was 13. When I was 16, I actually got hired as a trainer at Anytime Fitness. And circumstantially, that is now the location I own. But at the time, they were just getting started and I became a trainer, which I don't even know if it's perfectly legal for me to be a personal trainer at 16, but somehow I was able to get certified. And so started doing training as well as sales in the front of the office. When I was 18 years old, I decided I wasn't going to become a doctor anymore and got my MBA, started getting my MBA at night from the local university. At the same time, I started my lawn care business, Augusta Lawn Care. And so that actually left the gym and for a couple of years didn't really have any contact with the gym, but then it went up for sale. And the current owner at the time had five or six locations. He was trying to get rid of a few of them. And I said, hey, I will buy this and I will do everything I can to scrape the money together and make this happen. The business for lawn care, Augusta Lawn Care, was relatively young. We just got started, but I was like, I know this is a good opportunity because I know I want to franchise Augusta Lawn Care. And I knew that Anytime Fitness was a great franchisor, had 4,000 plus locations. And I wanted to learn that model. How do they support their franchisees?
Crossover, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, like ultimately when you look at landscaping, it really, your ideal customer is similar to what a gym is. And that is a affluent retiree. That's definitely one demographic. And the other is going to be a working professional. And so I really see a lot of synergies in terms of not only the target market, but also how you market to them, what their needs are. They're not looking for the cheapest. They have money. And so really going after that premium customer with a premium offering is something that we, especially in the gym, have doubled down on. And as we quadrupled prices in during COVID, the same thing is true when it comes to landscaping or any other service-based businesses. There is absolutely a customer base that wants a premium product and is willing to pay that premium price.
Yeah. And Anytime as a brand has followed in that same sort of mentality for a long time. They weren't premium. They were kind of competing with the Planet Fitnesses, the Golds, the whatever of the world for 15, 20, 25 bucks a month. And even nationally as a brand, they've made a move to go after the more affluent demographic. And so it all makes sense. You took over. When was it? When was it that we brought that franchise? Yep.
That was 2018, and that was in the middle of the year. It was kind of a funky waiting in the SBA process. I went for training out corporate before technically owning it and was technically running it before I actually owned it. It was weird, but it worked out really good. Took over from the old owner and still in touch with him. Went really well, the whole transaction. And of course, being part of a franchise helps in that whole transitionary period as well when you're buying.
Sure. And so 2018, you officially became owner. We had been running it, but the timeline suggests that you were there throughout the last couple of years of craziness, especially fitness industry. I'm sure landscaping, not as much, but the fitness industry, everybody that listens to this podcast knows what happened with the pandemic and whatnot. How did that affect what you did with Anytime? How hard did you get hit, or how were you able to overcome at least?
Yeah, fortunately, we were not in like a downtown area, urban area. So we're out in the county, typically less COVID conscious individuals. So we were supposed to close down a second time after closing down for 3 months. We were supposed to close down again, and we actually did not. And despite having threats thrown our way from the state, we stayed open. It turned out to be good. And we now have more members now than we did before. But more importantly, we've really started to focus on training and really focusing on that premium customer that is willing to spend $500 a month at a gym instead of just 50, which is still a premium product, $50, $60 a month for a gym membership. But going beyond that, how do we offer more services and literally 10x the value of that customer by turning them into a training client? And so it was just a whole paradigm shift during COVID of, okay, we're going to take what used to be a $99 per month package for group training and turn this into a $499 package. But now we're going to have nutrition. We're going to have an eVolt scan where we do body composition. We're going to have a lot more accountability, one-on-one access with a trainer. And we're going to turn this into a really good high premium ticket item and actually be able to afford run ads against it and make it into a real service. And so that's what we've done. And it's just been massive for us. We didn't hardly lose any of our past clients when we did the price change. And the results have been way better for the clients.
I want to address something that you said there, because I think it goes against conventional fitness industry wisdom. And it's unfortunate that that's the case, but we increased our prices. We delivered far more value, but the result of that is that we were profitable enough to be able to reinvest in this. Fitness people have a really tough time with charging what they are worth and pricing appropriately. How did you kind of wrap your brain around that, or what made you pull the trigger on this is the route that we're going to go?
Yeah, like ultimately it is my experience with landscaping, because the same thing is true in most small businesses. And that is, small business owners are just very trigger shy when it comes to raising prices, when ultimately that is the reason you get into a business. And that's why you have good customer service, is to create a sticky product that no one wants to leave despite a 5, 10, 15, 20% increase in prices. That is the beauty of small business. And that's why small businesses can ride through this inflationary period, because we can raise prices. So I looked at what would happen in landscaping when we would raise prices by 20, 30% and we'd lose 5 or 10% of our customers, but triple our profit. That's the type of thing that, you know, that leverage point that we have in our businesses is just, we don't talk about it enough and we're always so trigger shy. So do the math. Like if someone's really trigger shy, okay, raise prices on a third of your customers and see what happens. So that way, if it blows up in your face, it's not a big deal. But I think people are always, I've never seen someone raise their prices in a small business and be like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. It's always like, oh, why didn't I do that last year when I was struggling financially? And so, you know, realizing that ultimately when a customer pays for a service or product, they're looking for results. They're not looking for a 6-week program. They're not looking for a diet plan. They are not looking for 3 times a week to come in and do a boot camp with you. They are looking for a result. And we are selling a result. And whether or not we deliver on that result is the only thing that matters. So if you need to charge 3 or 4 times to be able to deliver the type of value so that they get the result, it's your moral responsibility to raise the price. Like for $99 a month, I could not have accountability with my trainers. I could not have multiple eVault scans and in-person training and texting them back and forth about their meal plan. That wasn't possible. So by having the price increase, the results for the customer, they got what they were trying to buy. They're not buying a meal plan from you. They're not buying a boot camp. They're buying a loss of 20 pounds for their wedding. They're buying the ability to be able to wake up without aches and pains. That's what they're buying. So deliver on that and charge whatever you need to get them there. And in order to get them there, you're going to have to be able to afford the eVolt scanner and the accountability and more one-on-one access with the coaches and better equipment. These are things that have to be done, but ultimately the person's paying for the result, and a premium product requires a premium service. And that's what attracts a premium client.
Yep. It sounds simplistic to just say, raise your prices, but there are deliverables on the back end that we need to reinforce with. Now, you mentioned that we had the profit margin to then be able to invest in advertising. What has the marketing looked like for you focusing on that somewhat more affluent demographic? Because marketing for a $10 a month, maybe I'll show up sort of gym goer, in a $500 a month, this is a real commitment for me, is a vastly different strategy. Where have you been investing your dollars and how has it been effective?
Yeah, like I think we're kind of part of what Anytime Fitness as a brand is trying to do, and that's change the notion that we are just a box gym into more of a training club, right? So we really put 100% of our effort into marketing for training. And what's happened is, because we spent a significant amount on that, there's there's collateral branding of people just seeing your gym, seeing your pictures and video in your advertisement. So our membership has done fantastic over the course of that time. We cut out pay per visit, the insurance programs at our club as well, just to allow for more growth of the membership without crowding the club. And that's helped that we've raised the membership prices. But ultimately in raising the prices of the customers, but for the membership and from the training side, investing back in the club has been just massive for us and keeping retaining those customers over time.
Yeah. I think that's an important idea here. You market to the person willing to put in a premium pricing, and it still addresses the person who isn't quite ready to pull the trigger yet. You mentioned that our membership did tremendously throughout this time. They're seeing, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Google, wherever you're putting your dollars, they're seeing these ads. They may not click on them, but there is this sort of cognitive recognition of anytime, even as a national brand, all of this plays its part. Walk us through a sales process for you guys. Sales in fitness has been an unbelievably poorly executed function of business for a long, long time. You get a lead, somebody reaches out interested in joining, whether it's as a training client or as a traditional monthly member. Walk me through the process of what happens before they sign on the dotted line.
For sure. I'll give you kind of the executionary side and then also kind of share a little bit of just kind of perspective that I think is good from an outsider's perspective from the gym industry. Executionarily, it is the Facebook ad is simply top of the funnel, as well as any text blast or email blast that we do to our current members, which we now have basically every email of anyone that's within 5 miles of us because we've been around for a while. So those actually, the text and email blast perform just as good as our Facebook ads because we have so much reach. And really all we're trying to do in those Facebook ads or the text or the emails is get them to sign up for an appointment. If we can get them in the top of the funnel with that appointment, that is then our way of, you know, how do we then get them into a 6-week challenge? How do we take them from a 6-week challenge into a 12-month commitment? How do we then get them from a 12-month commitment into a supplement and nutrition plan? So it's just this constant funnel, right? So if you look at your clicks into your ad is at the top of the funnel, and I give value somehow during that process to get them into an appointment, and I give them some value at that appointment in order to get them into a 6-week challenge, and in that 6-week challenge I give them a value to get them. If you constantly are thinking about giving them value at each of those stages, those get deeper and deeper of a relationship with you, at which level their lifetime value, that customer, trends higher each time. The second thing I would say is from a outsider's point of view, because my main business is landscaping. I spend maybe 10 to 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes a week at the gym. It's ran mostly by the team. But from an outsider's perspective, for people listening that are gym owners, there's sometimes being in the industry all the time, you can kind of get murky on, you know, what is the industry norm or what is the norm for businesses. You have to remember that we are selling life-changing results, like losing weight and the ability to look better, the ability to change someone's life, like not, you know, get out of diabetes and just massive changes in someone's life. Those are the things that people are most price insensitive to, because you're selling an emotion and you're selling something that is literally life transformative. I sell cutting grass and trimming bushes. That's the majority of what I do outside of the gym. And so when I came into the sales process of the gym, I was like, this is a breeze, because no one really needs mulch installed in their flower beds. No one really needs to have new rocks placed around their hedge, but you absolutely do need to lose 20 pounds if it's going to save your life, if it's going to allow you to pick up your grandkids. And so the ability to tap into the emotions of a gym goer that is actually massive life-changing things, and it's not really discretionary to lose the 30 pounds or to lose out on diabetes if they want to continue living. Like, the sales process is relatively easy, because you got to tap into the fact that we are not selling a 6-week program. We are not selling a meal plan. We are literally selling the fact that someone's going to look so much better for their wedding pictures. Someone is going to be able to pick up their kids and their grandkids, be able to live an extra 10 or 15 years after an injury. These are like life-transforming things that people, especially someone with high net worth, would literally be willing to give millions of dollars if they could tack on 10 more years into their life. How can we not tap into the fact that we can sell that person a $5,000, $10,000 package over the next 12 months? How can we not fathom that when they would literally give their left arm and every dollar of their $10 million net worth for 10 more years of life? And yeah. So when you can tap into that why power of the client when it comes to a gym, sales is you sell from a place of obligation. And I tell our trainers, like, we are obligated as professionals in this industry to get through, wade through whatever price objections or, you know, things that they throw at us objections wise to get to the reason, that is we need them to make a change. And we're going to charge whatever we need on the back end in order to be able to deliver a product that actually gets them those results. And the price thing is absolutely inconsequential because there's just so much why power behind why our clients show up to the gym every day.
Sure. And from my perspective, having that outside your knowledge of the landscaping business really, really creates an impact in your conviction in fitness sales. The tried and true battle in fitness sales is that we have personal trainers performing fitness sales, and all they've ever known is, I don't have that much money myself. Charging $5,000 or $10,000 is crazy, unfathomable. And so getting over that is really the hurdle for you, at least in this Anytime Club. Who is executing on these sales? Do we have specific membership sales or advisors or whatever the title is? Is it done by trainers? Is it done by front desk staff? Who is that role?
We tend to like to have the trainers be the person that does the sales process. I know some people have tried really a lot of success having a third party secondary person doing just the sales, and then the trainers are separate. We try our best to have trainers do it until they filled their schedule, because obviously they're out on the floor. That's when they're making money. That's the ideal scenario. But until that point, until they filled their schedule completely, I want them taking appointments, because they can very easily build that rapport. And then for someone that is really questioning whether or not they even want to come into a gym, they've now built this rapport with someone, and then they're going to hand them off to someone else. That can be a little bit just a little bit alarming for someone that's very cautious or like self-conscious about coming to the gym. So we like the trainers to build the rapport and then basically say, hey, I've got a spot for you in these two available windows, and use the scarcity of that trainer's schedule to get them to close immediately. That being said, we also have had times where all the trainers are filled up and booked. And so we have a third party, our office people are also trained on the sales script, and they can run those appointments as well.
Yeah. The fail safe is definitely a necessity there. Now it's been a handful of years since you've taken over here. It sounds like things at the club are going in the direction you want it to go, but anybody that's spent time in fitness knows that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. There's challenges, there's hurdles, there's bottlenecks. For you guys looking forward here, what's kind of the next thing to tackle on the hit list?
Yeah, like I think a big part of it is, especially you start thinking about outside of your own club, getting multiple locations, whatever it might be, it really comes down to the people side. So over the past couple of years since after COVID, we really doubled down the training. We have more trainers, and a couple of my trainers, I think, are definitely worth, they have the ability, talent-wise, to go start another location. So because of that, because I don't want to be actively involved in doing this myself, I really rely on the team. And I think that's a weakness in one regard, because I'm not there, but secondarily, it's a strength, because I rely on the systems. And that's the advantage of being part of a franchise sometimes. And so what our goal is kind of next is in 2023 and beyond, especially as we kind of go into a tough time economically, our goal is to be able to pick up locations that are for sale, turn them around using the systems of, we're going to be a premium product, we're going to invest back into our club, we're going to focus on training, we're going to be that high price ticket item, both from a membership and a training perspective, and really try to turn these clubs around, because a lot of them are going to be for sale and are for sale for pennies on the dollar of just their equipment, simply because they're losing money every month. So you're buying a liability. You're buying a lease that has five more years on it and is in the hole $5,000-$10,000 a month in this business. That's a liability. There's no value in it. So therefore, that owner is going to try to unload it for basically nothing, when they might have $200,000-$300,000 worth of equipment and $100,000 worth of improvements to the building in that space. And so there's definitely an opportunity. That's what we're going to be going after. I'm going to be using my managers that are equipped now, using the scale script for training, using the methods that we've been using, the systems, to kind of just revamp and turn around these clubs, find then good trainers and managers to replace them and kind of copy and paste.
Yeah, that's the true challenge at this level of business is we've got the blueprint. How do we find the role players now, right? We've got our team. Everybody can only be in one place at one time. How do we find the people to then play the parts moving forward? And big picture here, Mike, we're buying up struggling clubs. How far do you want to go in the fitness industry? What's kind of the longer term vision for you with this?
I think it really comes down to the people on my team. Like, honestly, if I have a good manager that wants to keep growing, I'm going to just keep funneling the cash towards them if they're dedicated towards that. And I think a big piece of making that possible is two things. One, sharing a piece of the profits with them. And then secondarily is open book management, showing all of the numbers to the business. At my gym, all the trainers, and they see the profit and loss statement. They know the numbers. They have profit sharing. They understand the business. They understand why we spend money on marketing and the seasonality of certain types of services in terms of training that we sell. So they understand the business. That being said, you know, where I see in the future, it's just a matter of strictly how far do they want to take it? Because I'm not necessarily involved in the day-to-day, so I need them. And it's just going to really be determined by, okay, do you want 10 locations? Do you want 20? Do you want three that are more local? Like, what do you want? And then just building the business around the team. That's what's beautiful about having a systems-oriented business. It doesn't matter who's managing it. It just runs on systems. And so the goal is that how do you perfect and tweak and adjust the systems and then follow the systems time and time again, rinse and repeat over and over and over.
Yeah. And so long as that's done, everything goes swimmingly, right? It sounds simplistic to talk about and it doesn't always get executed that way, but I can see the vision for this. Now, as we run a bit shy on time here, Mike, I want to turn the mic back to you and give you the chance to tell people where they could learn a little bit more about you, where they could learn a little bit more about this club. What's the best website? What's the best social media? Where can people find out more about this?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. YouTube's probably the best place. I talk a lot about business stuff in general, landscaping, but then gyms and just more small business stuff in general. So lots of whiteboard numbers, talking about profit and loss statements. We dive pretty deep. It's pretty nitty gritty. It's not really for the person who just wants to see flashy stuff. So, but yeah, check out YouTube, Mike Andes. You'll find some stuff there.
That's fantastic. Mike, I really appreciate your contribution here. I think this conversation needs to be had by more people in our industry to really elevate to where we know we can be as an industry. And so I can't thank you enough for your time. I'm excited to see what the future holds because it sounds like you guys are just getting started in your fitness foray at least. So I wish you nothing but the best. I can't wait to see the future for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And to everyone who tuned in today, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you would like to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your fitness business model, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is JJ Hernandez. And joining us on the show today is a very special guest. It is the one and only Mike Lindsay with Club 300 out of the UK. Mike, what is going on? Happy Tuesday. How are you feeling today?
Hi, JJ. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to get on the podcast and talk a little bit about gyms and Club 300 specifically. All things are good.
There we go. There we go. We're excited to have you on. And I think we're about ready to dive into the nitty gritty here of what you have going on with Club 300. So we'll start with a very, very basic question here. And it's pretty simple. You know, Mike, how many members are you serving currently?
So we are quite a unique club in the fact that our name gives it away. We maximize our member numbers at 300. And that's to ensure that we can create a personal community space, get rid of that anxiety that a lot of people feel about going into gyms for the first time. Because what we do with having good attrition with our coaches and that small community is people get to know one another. And of course, with that, it's like a second home for them.
That's awesome. I love that. And for you, Mike, I mean, what's been the best method of getting new people interested and through the door?
I think what's different, certainly with our size of club, is there's also lots of different marketing strategies you can follow. But for us, being, like I said, just 300 people, the best marketing we can get is just through our member referrals. Because it's a close-knit community, people will refer more often because they're seeing something different. And I think that's the great area that the independent clubs, although we are a franchise club now, we've got a club in Glasgow and Blairgowrie as well, and we've got plans to create a 90,000 member vision across 300 clubs. It's a big aim, a big ambition. But what that does is allows us to create a big community, but all small communities of just 300 people delivering that same message. So yes, for sure, word of mouth and referrals are really what we love to work on. But we do other strategies, you know, obviously Facebook marketing and Instagram's huge now. And we've not got into TikTok ourselves, but we get that's a market as well.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, for you guys, I mean, I'm curious, you guys cap at 300. Now, if let's say you get to a point where you're at the mark, which I'm not sure if you are there, you can clarify if you are or you're not, but when you get to that mark, do you guys have a waiting list? Like, what's the process after that?
Yeah, so no, I'm happy to be open and honest. And pre-COVID, we were hitting that 300 mark. And then post-COVID, we're probably about 60 members short of that mark at the moment. What we've actually seen is a huge shift. We were probably busier with personal training post-COVID. So we've seen an increase probably in personal training over the period. So what would happen if we get to 300 members is we look at our active members and we want to ensure that we're always actively working with up to 300 members. So there's always a scope between certain facilities that are a little bit bigger. We might take on 350, but only 300 might be active because every club does have those sleeping members. It all comes down to the facility size though as well. You know, in Perth, where my club's based, we're a 3,000 foot facility. The Glasgow facility is a 5,000 foot facility. So it's still 300 members, but they do have that scope to ensure that the service is there. And that's at the forefront of it, you know, service all the time. People can access the group sessions and they can access the gym and get on equipment all the time as well.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, I'm curious. I mean, I know this from experience. I was a personal trainer for a long time. And, you know, I know anything past 100 clients is a lot. It's a lot to manage. How are you able to manage, track, you know, the primary metrics of, like, you know, how long someone's been with you, if they're looking to cancel, you know, where they are on their journey? How do you track those numbers and metrics that are pretty significant to growth?
JJ, it's funny you said that about 100 members, because I had the exact same conversation with someone just a few days ago, where I said the first 100 members were quite easy. And I knew everybody's name as a business owner. I was in the business quite a lot. But when we approached 200 members, things started to get a bit harder to have all those connections. And that's where we put a lot of emphasis on our processes, on our systems and our software, and on our coaches to create those little mini connections with those groups themselves. So that's, it all comes back really to staff and making sure they're highly trained, they're highly confident, and they will create those connections. And then there's a bit of responsibility to put onto the members to also be welcoming and put those connections in place too. Over and above that, you talked about systems and I mentioned software. We actually use GlowFox . We used to be with a different company called Clubwise, but GlowFox has been fantastic with helping us streamline what we do and improve our connections and our reporting, so we can see what our PTs are doing, see what our attendance is like, and also create courses and community events. So we go hill walking in the summer with our clients. We've got Christmas parties. We do charity events called Super Teams. So we've got all these different things that just bring in different aspects of the membership to be more than just a gym, basically. but to be a community hub. And that's the biggest factor of all that is the staff that you've got, to be honest.
I love that. And that's so important because it's not even about, because I think for clients, right, it has to make sense for the clients, it has to make sense for you. But the same thing for employees, it has to make sense for the employee, but also makes sense for you. You don't want to jeopardize your culture, right? I think that's one of the most important things.
Yeah, for sure.
And I want to throw a little bit of a longer-winded question here, but a good question in itself. If you need me to repeat anything on this one, by all means, let me know. But I think it'll make sense by the end of it. So, you know, what we've been discussing the entire podcast and what we use most prominently in the fitness and gym world are three pillars of business, right? It's going to be number one, your lead generation, which is your marketing, right? Getting people through the door. Number two, it's going to be your acquisition, which is getting somebody from an interested client to a paying client. And then number three, it's going to be your retention and ascension, which is keeping your clients longer, but getting them to buy more from you in that process. So of those three, Mike, where do you feel like you could improve the most?
Our retention is generally quite good as far as an industry average goes. I think sometimes with the lead generation, that's probably the hardest part, is staying on top of social media all the time. I said earlier about our referrals being the biggest part of our business, but you also need to try and look at every aspect to maximize where those sales are coming from. And there's so many people now doing very good social media because it's not that difficult to do it anymore. There's so many apps. So everybody's kind of standing out, and in some ways it dilutes the market, because then how do you stand out? So I think it then comes back to a reflection on what you stand for as a gym, what you stand for as a personal trainer, what your community stands for. And like you said about there being those three principles, it's also then, what is the client looking for? What is the potential client looking for? What are the barriers they face and the objections they face? And then overcoming that and presenting that through your social media channels. That then gives you your position within the market, and then you'll attract the clients that you actually want to work with. So I think what we always try to do is, you know, we've got a slogan at Club 300, which is mindset, movement, macros. That's our tagline. And we believe that if we can get the mindset right, then the movement comes and the macros come, the nutritional side of it comes. We know that if you move well, you're more likely to eat better. But at the same time, the mindset needs to be still right with that. So if we can get all our clients to understand those elements, and we could push that out through our social media channels, people can buy into that instead of going like, okay, I could go and run on the treadmill all day or go on the cross trainer all day, but I'm not achieving anything, or I don't know why I'm doing it. So for us, it comes back to education. If we can try and get the general public to understand that there's more to fitness and health than just going and running on the treadmill, you need to understand why you're doing something and what the end goal is, then they're going to be a longer term member with you, because they believe in what you do, they trust in that process. And there's a lot of belief there, essentially. So I think, yeah, it comes back to, and this is our biggest push. It's always the hardest thing. You've got all these big chains out there that are like £20 a month, and you pay next to nothing, or maybe for your case in the States, it'll be in dollars, maybe $10, I don't know. And you can go and use the club when you want, but are you actually getting anywhere? So for us, we're trying to show clients that there's a more efficient way, there's a more effective way. Stop chasing just the sweat and start to learn a little bit more so you can grow and do these things yourself.
That's awesome.
Now,
yeah,
JJ,
yeah.
Or not, but I hope so.
No, that was great. I'm saying that's awesome, because I think you are teaching the ideology that, hey, like, you're gonna be able to learn and do this on your own, and not just, you know, be stuck here on the same process for years and years to come, which I think a lot of people here kind of struggle with, right? The lack of accountability, the lack of actually learning, lack of knowledge. So I think that's great. It's a totally unique approach, and I think that's awesome, Mike. Now, I got two more questions for you, my two favorite questions of the day, and I'm curious to see your response on these two. But first one being, what's the bigger picture? Let's say 5-10 years down the road, what are you really trying to accomplish?
So I suppose we set out with this ambition to have 300 Club 300s. That would create this 90,000 member vision that we've got. And we're wanting to expand through franchisees, so it's finding other like-minded coaches who want to kind of run with an evidence-based approach and look to change people's habits and beliefs about training, and get them to run their own small community of 300 people. And what's great about our club and our concept is they can work anywhere. They can work in a small rural location, they can work in a small town, and they can work in large cities like in Glasgow. Because it's only 300 people, that's the essence, that's the great thing about it. So for us, that is a very ambitious plan, but I think you've got to aim high. And if we fall anywhere in between that, I mean, my real goal initially was to own my own gym. And you do that, and it's like, okay, what else can we achieve? So then it's set the bar high. So that's the next 4 or 5 years, we'd like to see us reach at least those 10 to 15 to 20 clubs. 10 would be a great accomplishment for a five-year goal. And then I think once you've achieved 10 clubs, there's a bit more of a snowball effect because people can see that your model works. And the word gets out a lot more. So we're in conversations right now with something quite exciting in a different country altogether. So we're waiting to see how that pans out.
I'm excited to see as well. I got one more question for you here, Mike, my favorite question of the day. Mike, if you could go back in time to when you first started the gym, sit yourself down with the knowledge you have now and give yourself that one piece of advice you think you really needed to hear when you first started. What would that advice be for you?
You know, it's always a hard thing because when we started, we started off very successful. We got busy really quickly. I think the one piece of advice I would probably give myself now is not just go along with what you've currently got. Keep on challenging myself to look at different systems and different software. As an example, we stuck with the same software provider for quite a long time. But there were probably better systems out there. But because it was comfortable just sticking where we were, it was less hassle to do that. We didn't really need to have that change because we were quite successful. And that could probably go across a lot of things, not just your system and software, but trying to stay ahead of the game, see what's coming in that's popular. Things shifted so much since 2015 from when we opened. You couldn't really get custom kit back then, whereas that's all changed now. Everything could be customized with your brand on it and so on. So there's a lot of things that we've also learned over the period. But I think the one thing we'd always just try and be, stay on the front foot and don't rest on your laurels because you're doing well. I would probably say to someone else, try and expand a bit quicker, actually, because I left it probably 4 or 5 years before we started to look at our next clubs.
Wow. Wow. Mike, there we go. It's a good place to wrap things up on this episode. But before we sign out, please, if you have any social media, a Facebook website, where can people find out more about you and the gym?
Yeah, so our website is club300.co.uk. That's under a new website under construction, so that I'm looking forward to sharing that in the next few weeks. But you can find us far easier as well on Instagram and Facebook. It's club300perth. That's the hashtag. That's the handle. You'll also get Club 300 Glasgow South as well. But LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, we're kind of everywhere. But that's our preferred social channels.
There we go. We absolutely appreciate your time and contribution to the podcast, and I look forward to seeing what you can accomplish down the road. If you don't mind sticking around for 2 more seconds, I just want to let you know how you can get the podcast. I'd really appreciate it. I'm just going to go ahead and sign everybody else out over here. Okay.
Perfect, JJ.
Awesome. Thank you. And to everybody else who tuned in today, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit the like and subscribe button. And if you want to come in, join us and talk about your fitness business, click the link in the description, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you very, very soon. And as always, till next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more, or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Brooke. Joining me on the show is Leanne Lawler from Teammates Fitness out of Wellesley, Massachusetts. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Brooke, thank you so much for having me. We are good. Busy day here at the studio. So when you can say that, that's always a good day. So yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
I'm glad that you've had a busy day. That always feels really good in this space. Now, before we kind of dive in too deep into the business side here, give us a little bit of background, Leanne, you know, a brief background. What was it that made you decide to go and open up Teammates Fitness, you know, 20 years ago?
So my husband was a professional hockey player in the National Hockey League, played for 12 years. Fitness, lifestyle, good, healthy living has always been, you know, a priority in our family's lives. And we were traveling all over with hockey, six different cities. And I got the idea that this was something that I could do no matter what city we lived in. So started getting my training certifications in different cities, started to educate myself, and then would start to train some of the significant others, wives, girlfriends on the hockey team, then ended up teaching at a YMCA, then in, you know, small community centers. And we just had this idea that when hockey was over, that this is something that we could do together. And so the idea was kind of born about 25 years ago.
I love that. I think it's so neat for you to kind of be in this place where you and your husband were both passionate about health and fitness, and you decided to go into this and do it together. It's hard to go into business with your partner. So props to you for doing it and being so successful for so long. Give us your elevator pitch of Teammates Fitness. Tell us who you are, what services you have to provide. Paint that picture. I like to say that because, you know, we're completely virtual here. So our listener needs to have some sort of context as to who you are so that this conversation makes sense.
Okay. So we are a Pilates and personal training studio. We also offer a type of assisted stretching. We are 3,000 square feet, hardwood floors, high ceilings, windows on three sides, bright, beautiful sunlight, not intimidating at all. So, you know, not a lot of chrome, not a lot of heavy pieces of equipment. We have treadmills, rowing machine, cable machines, free weights, bars, bells, everything you need, all the toys and tricks. And then we have a Pilates studio, which is a little bit more serene. We have great equipment in there. We have a great instructor working for us. And so we work with a general population. We have some high school kids. We have moms who come, they drop their kids off at school. They come here and work out with us. We have business people that start at the crack of dawn and get their workouts in before they go to work or on the way home from work. And we specialize in one-on-one personal training, duos, trios, and small groups. So that gives you a little bit of idea of who we are.
Yeah, you kind of offer the main things, you know, you have those duos, trios, and small group. So kind of walk us through what a typical day looks like for you, Leanne, being that you have a variety of different services here. How many group classes are you teaching per day? And then, you know, what does the personal and semi-private training schedule look like?
So we don't offer any large training groups. We have groups of three and four. Since COVID, it's a little bit more challenging. A lot of people want to be a little more cautious. And so they might train with a friend, someone that they know, that's a little bit more in their comfort zone. So our, you know, our groups of four probably haven't peaked to where they used to, but, my typical day, I start usually at 6 a.m. and I go straight through until about 3 o'clock. And so most of those are privates. Some of those are duos.
Okay. Now, is it just you training in this business? Do you have other trainers? Because that sounds like a busy day.
That is a busy day. So right now there's my husband, Mike, and I, and we work full time. So we're here usually at least training 8, 9, 10 hours sometimes. And this is, again, you know, this is just a little bit of a different business model than a few years ago. But like many small businesses, you know, you've come through the pandemic and doing business is just a little bit different. And so we have another Pilates instructor who before COVID was part-time. She's a great friend, a great help, and a really hard worker. So she's bumped her hours up now. She's full-time. And we have someone here on Saturday morning. So yeah, it is a long day, but it's a good day. And I'm proud of how hard we've all worked. We're open, business is going really well. So it's been worth the hard work, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, transforming lives, it's always going to feel really great. So yes, that is hard work, but at least we're making an impact. So, you know, being that you are doing private training, semi-private training, how does a membership work? Are people paying a monthly membership fee? Do they pay for a pack of sessions up front? Kind of what options do you have available? If I were to come to you and say, hey, Leanne, I want to train with you, what would you have to offer me?
So we don't have any memberships. All of our sessions are by appointment only. And so you can come in to use the facility if you're training with a trainer. We don't have packages, so to speak. We tend to keep our clients for a really, really long time, which is, you know, a really great thing. And what, you know, depending, some people will pay a certain amount, will deduct as they come in. Some people pay as they come. Some people also pay at the end of the week. So whatever works best for them. We have a lot of clients that are regulars. And so that's how we conduct our business that way.
Yep. So it's kind of a more pay per class type of, or pay per session type of model.
Correct.
Now with that, you know, have you, for the people that have been with you for a really long time who are regulars, have you ever considered the idea of having like packages or having monthly billing for them just because they're utilizing it anyway? Is that something that you guys have ever toyed around with?
Yes. So we do that. I mean, we bill people monthly. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't have to be like an open membership. They can come in whenever they want. But like, when we talk about the idea of memberships, if somebody is coming in with us, you know, a couple times a week, 1-2 times a week, every week for like a year, we might as well charge them a monthly membership, right? And so that's kind of what I was asking. Instead of that pay per session model, have you ever done kind of like a monthly like auto subscription for those members that are coming in very, very frequently for the long term?
No, that's really not how we've set up the business that way. And so, you know, if someone has a couple appointments booked a week, most people, they're regulars, they come in on those regular times. And so at the end of the month, they're billed for as many times as they, you know, have come in. So we haven't looked at, you know, charging a membership on top of it. So I think just, you know, being billed monthly, every couple months, some people prepay for 20 visits. And at the end of the 20 visits, then, you know, just an email, let them know they're coming to the end of their package, so to speak. But yeah, we don't have any sort of memberships.
Okay. And with that, you know, being that you don't have kind of that guaranteed monthly revenue, right? Because if we don't have auto bill, we don't have a guaranteed monthly revenue. How do you and your husband project that income that's going to be coming in every month?
Well, I think, you know, given the actual structure of how the year plays out, we know January, extremely busy. So January, February, extremely busy. March tends to dip a little bit. It picks back up. Say you go until June when school gets out, summer can be a little bit slow, and then you pick back up in September and it takes you all the way to the holidays. So we're actually very fortunate. We have a surplus of clients. So we not only have people booked in for the hours, but we also have a waiting list of people trying to get in. So if I know someone's going to be away for an extended period of time, you know, I can definitely book someone in so that we don't have all these empty spots. So it's a model that's worked for us over the years, and it seems to continue to work well. So I know we have those dips. I think, you know, when you have a business like ours, we do have very, very busy times, and we do have very, very, we don't have really quiet times anymore. We're fortunate. The businesses seem to stay very steady throughout our typical slow periods. So it seems that the model that we have is working, and it may just be given the area that we live in, the fact that, you know, there's three of us, so there's only so many, you know, training hours to go around. So we do have a waiting list of people, but it seemed to have worked.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned something else there that I thought was pretty interesting. You have a waiting list of clients. Yeah. So you said we have a surplus of clients.
Yes.
And that's kind of, I mean, it's a good thing because it says that you guys have a good service, but we have people that are waiting to work out with you. So what are you guys going to do to kind of work on getting people into, you know, sessions and get people off the waiting list?
So waiting list, so to speak, is people are looking for permanent times. People like to know their schedule, so they like to know they have regular appointment times. And so that's what makes our days a little bit longer. Like, people are not coming in. They're, you know, as soon as we can find another Pilates instructor, find another trainer, we can get these people into a scheduled time. So right now we're extending our hours. We come in a little earlier, we work a little later. We've doubled people up, so they're partnering. So, you know, they're not sitting there not working out. We have them in, but they would love a regular time slot. So maybe that's a little bit a better description of what I mean by like a waiting list. We have people waiting for permanent spots, which is what we just don't have right now. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but you certainly don't want to have people who want to exercise not being able to do that. So yeah. Good question.
Good that you're like still helping them in some capacity, being that you kind of put them in, you know, one of those duos, trios, or, yes. or just put them in yes. When you can. So that's awesome for you guys, because like, instead of them just kind of getting sick of waiting on the waiting list and going
Sorry. And that was probably a little bit of a miscommunication, meaning we're fitting them in, like we're working longer hours. They may come in on a time that's not ideal for them, but they're still coming in. So we're fitting in everyone as much as we can. It just would be great for client schedules to know that they have certain days and times that they're committed to. And it's much easier to make it a priority in your life when you know you have it. So, you know, that's probably a better explanation of that.
Yeah. So my next question for you is, I like to talk about this on the podcast because I think there's just as much value in us talking about the stuff that has worked really well for us as there is talking about like the challenges, the bumps in the road. So for you, Leanne, as a business owner, what would you consider to be your biggest business related challenge right now to do with this business? And what are you actively working on doing to kind of overcome that?
Okay. So I think like a lot of small businesses, fitness business, restaurants, it's trying to find help. And so that's really our biggest challenge right now, trying to find another Pilates instructor, trying to find another trainer. And so I've been able to network with, you know, other Pilates instructors and trainers that I know, you know, to ask around in their gyms. Is there anyone looking for more hours? Anyone looking to, you know, bump up their schedules a little bit? We posted on some Facebook, you know, sites Massachusetts Pilates, some different training sites. We've gone to some larger job searching platforms and posted. So I think it's a problem that a lot of gym owners have, is just trying to find some good help. I think a lot of people, you know, have gone off on their own, have maintained a virtual clientele, done stuff out of their garages. So, you know, the typical business model of going into a gym has really changed. So, you know, that's probably our a bigger challenge is, you know, just trying to find the right fit, because you can be a good, you can be a good trainer, you can be a good Pilates instructor, but there's a lot more that also goes into that. So it's got to be a good fit for our client base. And I think just finding the right person is our biggest challenge.
Yeah. So my question to you is, like, once you guys, like, hypothetically, you find somebody, they're the perfect fit, what does that allow you as the business owner? Like, are you, what opportunities does that open up for you guys? Because right now it sounds like your schedule is pretty full. So by bringing on more trainers, what opportunities does that open up for both you and your husband?
So I think, like any business owner who works in the business and for the business, it's challenging. You know, you have a lot of man hours. We're on the floor, we're on our feet, we're working hard. We're also trying to manage the business. So you've got your bills, your taxes, everything that goes into, you know, the business side of the business. So I think if we were to find someone, you know, a couple of people to help us out, that it would just allow us to have our days a little bit shorter, and also probably in that sense allow us to continue with the business much longer, right? Because when you're working 10-hour days, you can very quickly run out of gas. And so our goal is to try to continue. We have a 3-year lease. We'd love to continue on. If we could get people to help us, we could find a little bit more balance, you know? And
that's a really great point. That's a really good point. Like, so many of us are so caught up in the business. Like, for you guys, you're training from like 5:30 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, that like it leaves us little to no time to work on the business. And I know as a business owner, typically we have this mindset that we want growth, we want more, but it's very hard to get more or to look at the idea of more if we don't have time to figure out how to get there. It's almost impossible. So having another trainer opens up that opportunity for you to focus more on the business rather than be so heavily invested in the business.
Correct.
Now, my next question here is, like, once you do have that opportunity to kind of focus on the business, where does your focus lie? What are some of the goals, some of the things that you have in mind that you'd like to achieve for teammates?
Well, I think, you know, to be able to, you know, have maybe a little bit more presence on social media. You know, I love talking with you today. I'm really interested in that aspect of growing the business, you know, using the different platforms, you know, YouTube, Instagram, just having a little bit more presence that way. And so possibly taking, you know, having some focus on just another avenue, I guess, of expanding the business. And that's something that I'm curious about. That's something I enjoy doing. I also think, you know, in taking a little bit of a step back from working in the business, you also help yourself find that balance, right? So we preach to our clients about taking good care of themselves, getting adequate sleep, eating properly, you know, just having a well-balanced life. And I think, you know, we try to do that, but when you work a lot, you know, just one day rolls into the next day, into the next day. And so I think, you know, at 61 years old, that I would like to, you know, just be able to just slow it down a little bit and, you know, and still be able to come to work with the same amount of energy and positiveness and, you know, just be able to continue to give, to share, to be good at what I do. And I think you have to be fresh and you have to be excited. And so I think having some help will definitely, lighten the load a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, like this schedule, no matter how young or how old you are, like working that many hours a day starts to take a toll on you.
Yes.
And it's very important that we make time to enjoy life. And you can still have a business where you're helping a ton of people without you having to spend, 10 hours a day in the business.
Yeah, like I think, circumstances over the last few years has changed our business model. And so, in that sense, you roll up your sleeves and you do what you have to do and you fight to keep it alive. And we've done that. And, we've kind of come out the other side now. And so, rolling up our sleeves and doing that hard work over the last 2.5, almost 3 years, we're proud of it and we're happy. And, we can kind of see that, the business model again will change when we do get some more help and be able to, just continue to service our community. We have great clients here, loyal, wonderful people, and because of them, we've stayed upbeat and positive, and the business has thrived actually in the last, year and a half. It's really taken off again, which is great.
I'm very, very happy to hear that has kind of been your story. Now, yes. The last question that I have for you here, and this one kind of puts you on the spot. So if you have to take a second, it's okay. What would be a word of advice that you would share with somebody who is fairly new to this industry? Maybe they just started their home studio today. What would you have to share with them?
I think what's really important is to really have a business plan. I think to sit down, to figure out the cost of actually running a business, because we can all be great trainers and all know a lot about health and fitness, but starting a business is just a different story. And I think 30 years ago, I read this amazing book called The E-Myth, and it's been revised and reprinted. And it really talks about, just taking your passion, but how do you turn that into a business? And it's really, I remember reading it 30 years ago, and it talked about run your business like a franchise, like really put it on paper, have policies, procedures, set it all up so that you're basically relying on a system and not necessarily people in that sense, so that your business can run smoothly and then you can go in and train. So I think just having a really good business sense, because that's really what happens. I think 4 out of 5 businesses fail within the first 5 years. 80% of small businesses do. And it's not because there's not good people doing the work. It's not because there's not good people with a lot of passion and a lot of education. It's just running a business is just different. And you've got to educate yourself on that. So I would say that would be my number one advice. And be a good people person, be a good listener, listen to your clients, know when you can push them, know when it's good to just back off. I think, those two things are really important.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you there. I think it is vital for us to kind of have a plan behind what we do, know what we're doing along the business side. And it's okay if you're not a business expert. Just because you don't have a business degree doesn't mean that you can't have a grip on the business side of what you have going on in your facility. You just have to be very strategic, network, put yourself out there, listen to shows like this.
Yeah.
Leanne, do you guys have a website anywhere that our listeners can go if they want to check out, get a visual for what you have to offer?
Yes, www.teammatesfitness.com. So yeah, it's, when I hear people starting up their businesses, especially now. I mean, you know, it's a new beginning for everybody. And I think shows like this just really help us share within our own community mistakes that, you know, we all make along the way. And, you know, we can learn from each other and help each other. And in that sense, like, I've reached out to some other Pilates studios. Do they have any other instructors looking for work? And it's really, really nice that, you know, there's all of us are kind of banding together and helping each other out. So I think this is an amazing podcast, and I've been very appreciative of being a part of it.
I'm glad that we got to have you here today, Leanne. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, if you want to stay notified about future episodes, please hit like and subscribe. And if you want to join us for an episode here at the Gym Lords podcast, fill out the link in the description. Our team will be in touch with you soon. As always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.